Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name to each one of you. Let's begin with prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. Lord, you are a great God. And Father, we know that you have done so much for us. You sent your Son Jesus to come to this earth to give us life, to give us eternal life. And Lord, your love is so great and so vast. And just help us, Lord, to understand how much you love us and your forgiveness for us. And I just pray that each of our hearts could be turned toward you, to learn of you, and to accept your salvation and your free gift. Help us, Lord, to do our part of surrendering to you, that we can live a life that is pleasing to you and brings you glory and honor. Just pray for this time here that we could have hearts that are open and learn of you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it was amazing to me to, what the Bible study was about, and I just felt like I had to not open my mouth or I'd be preaching the message that God gave to me. So, yeah, it was beautiful how God works. I'd like to talk about the gate to life. And this came to me. I was sitting by the bedside of John Lipinski as he was near death. And just realizing how when you're in that position, like, death becomes the gateway to life. At that point, when your body is broken and can't be fixed, when you have no energy left to live another day, there's nothing more than you want than to die. It's a gateway to life. And for God's people, it's that gateway, the gate to eternal life with Jesus. Psalm 116:15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." You know, and I've thought about this verse and, like, you know, how is it precious to God? Why is it precious? I believe because that death is the gate that brings the person home. This is what Jesus came for. This is what he died for, to get you safely home. And another soul has made it safely home. And so it's another victory. And I believe that's why it's precious in the sight of the Lord. And this made me think about other gates that Jesus leads us to. This idea of a gate that leads to life is what we were talking about this morning. Matthew 18, verse 3, Jesus said, "Assuredly I say unto you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." And so, we're talking about a gate. And on this one side is the kingdom of heaven. And I'm on the other side. And Jesus is saying, unless I become converted and become like a little child, I can't get to life. I can't get to the kingdom. So he brings us to a gate. The one was already mentioned about in Matthew 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So again, the kingdom of heaven is on one side. And this man it doesn't tell us what he owns. Maybe he had a brickyard. Maybe it's Glengarry Brick. And it says he sells all that he has. Maybe he sold his bed. And his car, his business, all, everything that he had to go through this gate to buy this treasure, the kingdom of heaven. Jesus talked to another man in Luke 18. The rich ruler. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, "How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." So here we had a man who had riches, and this man said he had followed the commandments. He had done all these things, he said, Jesus. But Jesus knew that riches, that this man had riches and he loved his riches. And so the kingdom of heaven is on one side, but there's a gate he needed to pass through. And Jesus brought him clearly to the gate. And he loved his riches. And he turned away sorrowful. He turned away from going through this gate, from being willing to pass through the gate that would take him to life on the other side. We see this in the life of Jesus in Philippians 2. Thank you. Verse 8 through 9 says, Jesus is talking about Jesus, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. So Jesus was at this place in his life. He was at a gate where he was giving up everything. He came and he gave up everything he had, his life. In order to give us life. In order, and now he is highly exalted above every name, and he's coming back with power and glory. And it's not going to be like the next time he comes will not be like the little baby he was when he came the first time. But he's going to come back with that splendor, with that glory, with power. And he will reign. And he is above every name. But in order for him to get there, to be given the name that is above every name, he passed through this gate of death. The death of the cross. So you can turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. And it seems like these verses, seems like we talk about them often, but my heart comes back here often because I find in my own life, I struggle with these things. This is a battle that we face in life. This is what we were talking about this morning in the Bible study. Matthew 7, verse 13. Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it." So he tells us clearly here, this verse is somewhat dropped in the middle of this, and he brings us this principle of the gate. And he says very clearly, he calls us to enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So there's here a wide gate, a gate that's wide open, that anything can go. It's a broad way. It's a big road. You can take anything on it you want. You don't need to give up anything. You can have what you want on this road. It's a broad way. It leads to destruction, and many are going this way. Picture with me, out here we have Interstate 78, and this is a broad way. To me, this is a broad way. Imagine this is, instead of cars on that road, is people, and it's full of people. And if you wanted to, just for interest, if you want to know how many people are in the world, if you filled that road up from shoulder to shoulder, both sides, 8 billion people, their average about 3 square foot per person, will go around the world 2.5 times. That's how many people are in the world. We have a hard time understanding how many people are in the world. But it's a broad way. It's a place of people. So imagine that, full of people. And there's exit ramps on there, and you can take anything down there you want. There, you can have backpack full of bitterness. You can have sin of any kind. Whatever your heart desires, you can fit on that road. The exit ramp will take you. There's even people there who will cheer you on and say, "Come, you know, come with us. We're having fun." Above the exit ramp, I imagine signs that say like this: "Have it your way. I'm loving it. The happiest place on earth. Pursue your happiness." We see these things. This is our world we live in. It's a broad way. But Jesus says clearly, it's leading to destruction. Then he tells us about a narrow gate, a difficult way, crowded with afflictions, tribulations, trouble, that leads to life, and few find it. A narrow gate, a gate, I imagine, by the cross of Calvary, where Jesus died for you and me. And there you see a small gate. And it's a small place that is so small, you can't take anything with you through this hole to crawl through. All the backpacks of self, of the things I love, the things I want to pursue. All the bitterness, all the anger. We spoke of some of these things. The self-indulgence. It all has to be left behind for me to enter this narrow gate. And he says it's not only a narrow gate, but it's a difficult way. It's a way that's difficult because there's a continual process of dying, of me learning to die along this road. This path helps me to picture a mountain path in Haiti. I wanted to hike one day up a mountain, and behind the one mission there, there's a big mountain, and it goes, like, you look up, and it's just, like, way up there, and I'm like, you know, I want to go up there. Let's go. Well, when you're looking at the mountain, it looks like a, you know, just, like, right up there. What you don't see is the path that you need to take to get there, what you will go up and down many times before you ever reach that peak that you're seeing. And you will go on a little path, and it's a footpath of maybe a foot and a half wide. And there's rocks. You have to watch for loose footing. You'll lose your footing on the path. And it goes up, winding up, and then you go down in another ravine out behind, and you wind around, and you go up. And this is a path that it takes to get there. It's a difficult way. But he says clearly, it leads to life. It leads to life. The broad way, let's take a closer look at what he said about the broad way. The broad way leads to destruction. In surrounding this broad way, I see so much unbelief. Unbelief. Unbelief in the provision Jesus has made, not believing in him, not accepting his provision of salvation, but unbelief also that it ends in death. Many people today who are on a broad way, who are on this broad way, do not want to believe that it ends in death. They're trying to deny the fact. But Jesus tells us clearly that it will be leading to destruction. So do I take the lesson for me? Am I taking this serious? Do I believe that the broad way leads to death? Do I have that settled in my mind that the broad way is leading to death? Proverbs 16:25 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." To our carnal mind, the way may seem right, but its end is the way of death. Romans 6:20, verse 20-23, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Here we see the wages of sin is death. There's no way around it. Sin will bring death. We all know how in Genesis 3, how sin came into the world. The spiritual death came when sin came. Eve told the devil that we're not allowed to eat of this tree or we're going to die. And he says, and he mocks us, and he says, no, you're not going to die. They didn't die immediately, but they died spiritually. Right after this, we see them hiding from God when they had a beautiful relationship before. It was separation. It was spiritual death. And they did die physically as well. The way of the flesh is death. The broad way leads to death. And we see that in our flesh. It comes out very soon after we're born is our flesh. Our flesh wants what it wants. So do I see my flesh as that its ends in death? That what my flesh wants, that my fleshly desires, do I have that clear in my mind that it will lead to death? When I'm irritated, when I have wrong thoughts, when there's self-indulgence, do I know that it leads to death? Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So we If we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap the destruction of this broad way. If we sow to the Spirit of God, allow God to work in us, change us, and sow to Him, we'll reap everlasting life. The narrow gate. The narrow gate. I believe this narrow gate Jesus is talking about is that full surrender at Calvary. Believing on Jesus. And going through, being willing to go through this small gate that leads to the path of life. John 10, verse 7 to 11. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Here Jesus is telling us clearly that he's the door. He's the way. He's this narrow gate where we need to surrender everything to him to enter. And he says, he promises us that we will, that there's life on the other side. There's pasture. There's abundant life that he wants to give to us. The narrow gate includes crucifying the passions and desires of the flesh. Full agreement that the flesh is against God and must die. Am I in full agreement that the flesh is against God and must die? I believe this is what we were speaking of earlier in the Bible study. You know, is this what isn't clear to people's minds? They think somehow you can walk with a foot in each kingdom. And it doesn't work that way. Galatians 5, verse 16 through 26. "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." Here, he clearly tells us, those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. The narrow gate means crucifying the flesh with its passions and desires. And then Jesus said, not only about the narrow gate to enter, but he called it a difficult way. And the difficult way speaks to me of the daily cross. In Luke 9, Jesus said, verse 23, "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost?'" So the difficult way includes a daily cross. Daily opening my hand to let go of what I want. Daily opening my hand to let go of what I want. That made me think about that. There was a little song I used to sing when I was a boy about love is something if you give it away. And it said, love is something if you give it away. Trying to think how it goes now. You remember this song, anybody? My mom taught me this. Now I'm drawing a blank. Yeah. It's just like a little penny. Hold it tight. And you don't have any, but lend it and spend it, and there'll be so many, they'll roll all over the floor. Love is something if you give it away. But I thought about that as we can hold on to what I want, and I end up with nothing, Jesus said. I'll have nothing in the end. I'll have what I want, but it will mean nothing. It will bring me to nothing in the end. But I can open my hand and I can surrender to Jesus and I can let him have his way in my life, and he'll bring us to a place of blessing, a place of pasture. This difficult way includes daily surrender. Daily surrender. This verse was mentioned already this morning, John 12, verse 24. "Most assuredly," Jesus says, "I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." So it includes a daily surrender. Daily losing my identity to allow the image of Christ to be formed in my life. When this seed Jesus talked about is willing to die, it goes into the ground, it dies, and you don't see the seed anymore. You can't find that seed soon. It goes away. It's used up. It gives everything to grow the new life, the plant. And the plant can grow, and it can produce much fruit. The grain that's harvested, if it's willing to be ground, can feed people. But if we hold on to ourselves and we won't surrender, and I keep that seed, I keep what I want, it will not be planted, it will not grow new life, it will not bring more blessing. And I'll end up empty. So if we can embrace trials and realize that they are the gate to more blessing, trials are a gate to more blessing. James 1, verse 2 said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Trials are very difficult, and I know many of you have gone through very difficult trials. But somehow, if we can look through by faith, hold on to God, and know that his word is sure, to know that this trial is working something good for us. This trial, God is not, he does not waste pain. He does not give us a trial for no purpose, but he has a purpose behind it. And he wants to use it to bring us to life on the other side, to a better life, to a closer relationship. And this difficult road leads to life. Jesus said it will bring us to life. There is life through this gate. And this difficult pathway, the end is life. This is a way of peace, light, truth, fellowship with Jesus, fellowship with others, and security in God. John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So we live in the world, and we will have tribulation, he said. But he said, don't fear. Do not fear because of tribulation, because you face difficulties. Because I have overcome the world. We're to be of good cheer. Jesus gives us resurrection power over sin and self in this life. And he has grand preparations for us in heaven. John 14:1-6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This pathway leads to life, and Jesus wants to give us his resurrection power over sin and self. And he's preparing heaven for us. This pathway leads to life, and it's certain that those who continually pass through the gates of surrender will have this gift. I'd like to read Romans 8:31-39 yet. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the gift of life is certain for those who will continually pass through the gate that Jesus brings us to of surrender and accepting his ways, his love, his truth. God bless you.